Welcome to Uncluttered, the podcast that discusses the connection between faith and organizing. Our focus is not just how to be organized, but why it's important from a biblical standpoint that we leave the clutter and the chaos in our lives behind. I'm Angie Heitch, an author and certified professional organizer living in East Tennessee.
And I'm Leanna George, an author and former professional organizer living in Houston, Texas. Are you ready to unclutter your heart and home so you can focus on what matters most? If so, let's dive in.
All right. Well, we are so very excited today to have Gwen Smith as a guest on the podcast. Leanna and I have had Gwen on our radar for many years. And then when we decided to have a podcast and a book called Uncluttered, we knew we got to reach out to Gwen, because her song and music video for Uncluttered is just wonderful and ties in so perfectly to what we teach. And we're so glad that she said yes. So let me tell you a little bit more about Gwen. Gwen is joining us from Charlotte, North Carolina. In 2006, she co-founded a devotional and conference ministry called Girlfriends in God, and later went on to be the host of the Graceology podcast. She's a business owner, speaker, worship leader, songwriter, recording artist, and author of four books, including Broken into Beautiful and her most recent book, I Want It All. Her ministry passion is helping women know and trust God more through stories, songs, and scripture. Now for what you really want to know. Gwen's just an ordinary woman like you and me. She is a worshiper, wife, mom, sister, daughter, friend, and potato chip eater. Her desk is organizationally challenged, and she often runs late, right there with you. She has a love-hate relationship with carbs, and she goes through the same kind of struggles as you and I do. Gwen doesn't have all the answers and won't pretend to, but she definitely knows and loves the one who does. She and her husband, Brad, own a senior home care agency and have been married for over 30 years. They have three tall adult children and lovely daughter-in-law who keep them on their toes and on their knees. Gwen loves shopping at Marshall's, savoring dark chocolate, sipping strong coffee, coaching and playing volleyball, laughing with good friends, and studying her Bible. Her greatest love, however, is Jesus. Gwen, welcome to the Uncluttered podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here, and I can say I am not an organizational professional.
Just let
you
that
guys
be
are like,
known
I'm
right
an
ahead of
organizational
time.
Professional. I'm like, yeah, no, I am not. But I'm excited to talk about being uncluttered.
That's okay. This is just such a treat. And, you know, we know that your journey can probably inspire our listeners on their journeys as well. And so, you know, we know that you may not be an organized person. I'm having trouble with my words today. Sorry. An organized person, but you did write a really amazing song that I want to start the conversation about the song, your song Uncluttered, since it does have the same title as our podcast and our book. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So it's one of my biggest challenges. There you go. definitely. So obviously, just listening to my own bio, I'm exhausted. And it's just, there are some people who thrive on rest and quiet. I genuinely have just a tremendous amount of energy, and I just feel like there's not enough minutes in the day to accomplish all the things that I want to or have on my calendar to address. And so this whole topic has always been a challenge for me. And in light of, you know, being a woman of faith, I am just really committed to my relationship with the Lord, which requires that I be still and allow him to order my heart and my thoughts and my priorities. And so that song, I think, let me think, that CD, I was going to say that album, that CD, that project, we'll call, that's how old we are. Okay. I know, like, well, it was an album, it wasn't a CD. But that came out in 2010. So I co-wrote that song either in, I think, 2009 or 2010 with Dave Clark, and he is one of Nashville's finest writers. Just and he and I have worked together for over 20 years, and we both have that same constant challenge: is what's most important, how can we accomplish it, and in light of all of the things that are coming at us all the time, emotionally, spiritually, physically, with our health, with our loved ones, how can we get with God in a way that is going to be most effective, in a way that is going to allow us to contend with the things that need contending with, sift through to the things that really matter most, and align our hearts to His.
Yep.
I mean,
So
the opening line of the song, for those who have not heard it, you can find it on YouTube, or you can find it on iTunes or wherever you listen to music. But the opening line of the song is, "Another day with way too much to do, another list of things I can't get to. I feel like I'm running, but I'm losing ground. Never quite enough of me to go around." That's the lyric of, and so it's true. So there we go.
Yeah.
It's
13 years
beautiful.
later, it's a timeless song, and I think it will
Yeah, thank you.
always be something that can be related to. So, listeners and what and viewers, if you have not heard that song, watch the video. I really encourage you to go to the YouTube video, because the way Gwen structured that video, it is so powerful. So yeah, you can find it on YouTube. You can navigate to it through Gwen's website, gwensmith.net. And you can also, while you're there on her website, you could find out about her books, her Bible studies, her other music. That song is just one of many that she's done. So
Thank you.
please be sure to check that out. Either pause now or after the episode. Of course, if you're driving, please don't stop to mess with your phone. But it's a fantastic song, and the main reason we decided to contact you. However, we know that you have more of a story than just this song, and so we're looking forward to finding out more about you. And we know our audience is going to learn so much.
Yeah, and before we go there, I want to stay on the song a little bit longer, because the lyrics, I mean, just that one first line of the lyrics, just amazing. What can you tell us, what in your life was going on that you were like, I've got to get this song out? And how have people responded to it?
So at the time, I was assigned worship artist with Brentwood Benson in Nashville, and everything that I would write and co-write, it was all based upon my life. It's, where am I as a woman, as a mom, as a worshiper? What are my biggest issues and challenges, and how am I processing that with the Lord, in light of the Lord? And so at that point in my life, I had three young kids. Now they're adults, but that at that point they were three in the home. A lot of activity, a lot of calendar. I was very active in women's ministry, so doing speaking and leading worship and doing concerts at women's conferences, up to 20 weekends a year. So there was a lot of activity. My dad was also very sick at that point, with quite a he had a fully systemic autoimmune disease that required intensive surgeries. He went through two different transplants, and so there was a lot. But again, as we're even having this conversation, there's still a lot. It's just that today's a lot looks different than 13 years ago, 14, 15 years ago. So it's just this song is an acknowledgement of the things that get in the way of us having a heart of peace or a heart yielded to grace and the power of the Lord at work within us, the spirit, the fruit of the spirit, because the fact of the matter is as much as we have a God who has a plan and a purpose for our lives that is really rooted in love and forgiveness and grace and restoration and redemption, we have an enemy, and Jesus talked about him in John 10:10, who came to rob, kill, and destroy. He is the thief, and he wants the things of life to trip us up and to get us off course. He wants us to think that God is holding out on us, that the world is crumbling around us, when in fact the hand of God is sustaining and holding it all together. So there is a constant tension, and I don't have any type of incredible story of how I do everything perfectly, but I do have an incredible story of how I depend on the one who helps me get through all of the challenges and really focus my heart.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and since our focus on this podcast is about uncluttering, and we talk about clutter in our home and clutter in our schedule and to-do list and clutter in our mind. If you feel comfortable, would you mind sharing some of your own personal journey to uncluttering your own life? You've got an extremely busy life, and so there's, like you said, there's a lot going on. But in anything that journey to unclutter has changed the way you approach all the different roles that you play in your life. Play, not play, hold. Yeah. You're not pretending. Yeah.
All the things. Listen, I would say this, as a woman of faith, and I know that, that is the crux of what y'all approach
Yes.
this whole topic with. Foundationally, my life is established on the grace of Jesus, and I came to know the Lord even as a young child. I was raised in church, trusted in, put my faith in Jesus when I was just a young girl, in the Sunday school. I have fond memories of my Sunday school teacher, Mr. Dunn, who used to always, no matter what the Bible lesson was, he always would bring it back around to Jesus. And the fact that all of the stories in the Bible are true, and that they are really to echo the love of God for humanity, and that through Jesus he made a way for us to be have a restored and reconciled relationship with the Lord. And so for me as a little kid, I was like, oh, I wasn't taking theology classes, but I understood, okay, I am not perfect, and I would love to be restored to the heart of God. And so I placed my faith in Jesus as a young child, and really did my best to grow in faith over the years. As a teenager, I was very involved in my youth group at church, and I'll never forget going to church camp when I was 14. And there was one evening, when it was kind of one of those come to the altar evenings, I felt the Lord calling me to ministry. And at 14, I didn't know what that meant. I thought maybe Amy Grant would take me on the road with her, because I was a singer. Again, I'm aging myself. Thank you very much. But it just was a time when I was fully surrendered to the Lord. And I felt like as a teenager, my passion was to really follow the cross more than the crowd. And then I went off to college, and in college I was still a girl who loved Jesus, but I started to make some compromises that really led me down a dark path. And eventually, by my junior year of college, this girl who loved Jesus had found herself one compromise after another, pregnant with an unplanned pregnancy in an abortion clinic. And when that stick turned blue for me, my heart turned black, and I tried to run the other way, and genuinely made a choice of death in a season that was devastating for obviously for my baby, but also for me. And so there was just a dark blanket on my heart and an overwhelm. In today's talk, we would say, I was processing with a whole bunch of grief and all of the depression and everything that comes along with that. And in back in I grew up in the days of You rub a tough pill on it, you struggle, you kind of compartmentalize and move on. And for and we, there was to some degree, I would say some pretending, but in my heart, I wasn't talking about everything, because good Christian girls aren't supposed to be having sex with their boyfriends, and they're not supposed to be getting pregnant and then having an abortion. And so there was such a chaotic cluster of craziness in my life that was in conflict with, I could not reconcile my choices with who I was actually, with who I believed I was supposed to be, and what I actually felt was true in my life. And so in light of that, there was just a real season of darkness and jagged, and it was a lot to process. And again, it was all done in secret. And secrets can be a source of clutter in your heart, in your life, and in your soul that other people can't see, just like, emotional scars. And so that was a devastating time for me, and it was my fault. And because it was my fault, it made it harder for me to humble myself before the Lord, because I knew the word of God. I knew the hope of salvation. I knew the promise of forgiveness. And yet there was just a resistance in my heart to turn back to the Lord, and grace, because I knew I didn't deserve it. And so, and that's, again, another lie from the enemy in my head, because the bottom line is none of us deserve it. But this is where, I love the word of God, and I'm passionate about the word of God, and I'm passionate about the way that we see humanity and relationships and struggles and failures in the word, because that's what I can connect with. And so this is where, in the New Testament, Jesus took time to tell a story, and we call it a parable, but he tells a story about what we call the prodigal story. And it's about this young man who went to his father to ask for his inheritance, which he had no right to ask for. It was not time. It was in his own time schedule instead of the right timing of things. And the father, allowed him to have his season of rebellion, and he went off and he squandered his money. He ended up in a pigsty. And Jesus tells a story, and he said, and he ended up, basically realizing that these pigs are eating better, or than my father's, that like the servants at my father's house are eating better than me right now, and doing better. So it says, I love this phrase, in the word of God, it says, when he came to his senses, he returned to the father. And so it was when the Lord would, through people, through conversations, remind me of his grace, that it is not earned. It is not, and he just wooed me back. And so when I came to my senses, I really just broke down before the Lord, and I confessed my sin. And the Bible is so clear. In 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This does not say most of the unrighteousness or most of the things you could do. It's that he is willing. He is willing to extend grace when we confess, and we have that heart-to-heart conversation with him. So, when I finally came to my senses, like the prodigal, I returned to the Lord. And then I'm just going to finish the story for those who might not be familiar, because the prodigal story that Jesus tells goes on to say that when he returned to the father, that the father was not standing there with hands on his hips, saying, with a wagging finger, saying, "You are in so much trouble. You're going to pay this off the rest of your life, and you can go sit in the servant's quarter and put your nose in a corner and all that stuff." No, instead, it says that the father ran to him, and that he embraced him, even though culturally that would have been undignified. He denied that and ran with love and extended grace, and then threw him a party. So it was not that he was going to be restricted and limited because of what he had done. It was that he was welcomed back into the family and loved beautifully. And that's my experience. And I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve my forgiveness. And yet, what the Lord did to, here we go, unclutter my heart, body, mind, and soul when I turned back to Him was nothing short of amazing and miraculous. And though the healing took time, and I know that talking to an audience of women, which I imagine your podcast listeners are mostly women, literally 30 to 40% of your listeners have the same story as I do, and we just don't talk about it. It's so rarely spoken of in the church. And unfortunately, there's so much healing that still needs to happen. And so, this is one of the things that God has placed on my heart and on the docket of what I must address when I speak to women. It is that, listen, I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. And yet God's grace, God, what I've learned over time is that no matter how broken life seems, Jesus restores and redeems. It is who He is. He is our restorer, our redeemer. It's what He does. It is why He came. He came that we would have life, abundant life, life to the full, and not that we would be held captive by our past circumstances or present challenges, or even by our fears of tomorrow. And so for me, that was a pivotal time in my life. That was when I was a junior in college. But honestly, the reconciliation of my heart to the Lord happened, not long after. But then I didn't surrender this story until the Lord, like, was all up in my business about it. And when I was in full-time ministry, and he was like, "So you're going to tell them? It's time to tell them." And I'd be like, "No, I can't hear you. I can't hear you." But he was really obvious. And I knew that I would be disobedient if I wasn't willing to share, because it was so horrifying that I would have, like, I'm like, this is not pretty, God. This is not pretty. This is the, and he was like, it's my story of restoration. So it's either about you or it's about me. And I had to contend with that.
Such a beautiful story. The story of the prodigal never gets old. And I love that not only that that the father ran to the son, but that he was watching for him. You know, he was watching and waiting. And what you said about sharing it with others reminded me of the scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we re ourselves receive from God." So when you speak that boldly on podcast episodes, or when you speak, you are turning around and taking what God gave you and blessing others with it. And I just appreciate and love your transparency and your boldness in that.
Thank you. One of the psalmist in Psalm 107:2, he said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So I'm saying so.
Well, and you do it so well. I mean, so powerfully, and and it's just comes out, as just like, I know you, Angie, and I keep using the word beautiful because it is just so beautiful. I can see why you would be highly sought out. Sought after to speak, even though you would be speaking for so many years. So
Sweet.
the whole time I'm thinking, as I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, wow, she's so good. And the message is so true and so powerful. And I can see why and you have a burden on your heart to share this with women. Because, like you said, so many of them that are listening are probably going through the same thing, but they've kept it
They
together.
are.
That you probably have a pretty big ministry. So how do you juggle it all? How do you balance all of that? I mean, you've got to study, you've got to travel, you've got to, speak, you've got your home life, you've got so much going on. How do you manage it all?
So depending on the day, and depending on if you talk to my husband, I would say, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. It is calendar focus, priority focus, and it's seasonal. Like, so for when I was in full-time women's ministry for 20 plus years, it was my sitting down with my husband, who, as the head of the household, I needed his commissioning, and it was us determining, what percentage of weekends or what number of weekends is reasonable for me to book to commit to
Right.
ministry, to what God has called me to and equipped me for, so that not only am I being obedient to the call of ministry in my life, but also obedient to the first ministry, always being my family and my marriage. So we put numbers on it. I mean, frankly, I do get asked that a lot. So when my kids were young and when they were in the household, my husband and I, we literally sat down and we were like, okay, 52 weekends in a year. And he said, if you're home during the week, which I was, as a songwriter and stuff, I was able to do everything at home.
Right.
He said, if you're home during the week and I'm home during the weekend, I think that if you are home between 60 and 70% of the weekends, it's a win for our family because you're here all week. And then it's a win for you to get to pursue what God has laid on your heart in ministry. So that's where we came up with a number, 18 to 20. I literally would book 18 to 20 weekends a year for women's conference events. And that gave me the freedom to have things booked on my calendar and to pursue what God had placed in my life and my heart in terms of the burden of ministry. And also to feel like this is what's best for my family. And so that really worked for us. And now we're in a different season. My husband and I own a very, very active business. And so once again, if it's not children, it's going to be your own business. And we own a senior care agency in Charlotte. And like I said, we run it together and we have a team literally of over 150 employees. And so
Wow.
it's a lot. But God still has me going out and speaking and sharing. It's just not to the degree that it used to be. So it just, and for me, the determining factor of those things are prayerfully led. And as opportunities come and someone does an inquiry, if they're going to my website and inquire about booking me for an event, then I prayerfully consider, is this something that, first of all, that I have the space for in a calendar? I won't book more than two ministry events in a month. Is it something I'm passionate about in terms of what their goal is? And so when I do a conversation with a woman's ministry director or event planner, I want to know, so what's the end game? If it's something like, and we're going to have a lot of fun, or if it's, we just really want to take women deeper into the heart of the Lord, we want this to be a community outreach event. I want to hear those things. Like, I want to hear that their passion is really to make a difference, not to have an event. And so, I know pretty quickly whether I feel like my heart's drawn to it. And so we work it out. We figure it out and just pray that God leads. So that's probably, I don't know if that's what you meant or not.
Oh, it's a beautiful answer because I love that you not only talked about, your ministry. And then how it's important to you, but how you sat down with your family and how you prayerfully considered all your decisions. Because I think that is so important when people are trying to manage a lot of activities. And so I love that you set that example for me and for all of our listeners. That's
And
great.
I will say this, I can handle a lot on my calendar and still have peace in my heart and feel like I'm in the sweet spot. So if my calendar may look cluttered to you, but to me, as long as there's order and it makes sense, it's good. And that's where it's such a unique walk with each of us, that we have such a broad
Absolutely.
spectrum of personalities and temperaments and all of those, the calling. If we're not walking in the calling of our lives and in our gifting and naturally taking in step with the Spirit of God, who will lead. God is a God of clarity. He is not a God of confusion. So there's a lot of freedom in that. I know that that's my design. And I know that some people are like, I could never do that. And that's okay. That's where I think that the beauty of, we are all, that's, there's a bouquet. There's a bouquet of believers, and some are poppies and some are, pansies, and some are roses and some are gerberdazies. So we're all different, but it's just a matter of kind of determining what is in your life most vital, most important, and then just passionately pursuing the heart of God in alignment with it.
I love that. I also love that it's not only that each of us is unique, but it is also that you have had to adjust many times with your primary ministry, you know, going from your primary ministry being the worship leading and the songwriting and all that to this business and then keeping that. And I'm sure that has required not only consistent time with the Lord to make sure that you are fulfilling his unique calling for you, but also consistent conversation with your husband and with your adult children and you know, your employees and just constantly looking at, you know, am I fulfilling God's calling for me? Am I living in a way that is physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually healthy? And I'm sure you had to adjust and readjust constantly based on what's going on in your life stage and the people in your life.
Definitely. We all do.
Yeah,
we do. Absolutely, we all do. Well, and Angie and I always say, you know, organizing isn't one size fits all, right? So just like you said, you can handle all of that, but just listening to you talk all about that, I was like, I would be so tired, right? We're all uniquely made, right? We all have our own uniqueness, thanks to God. And so, you know, it's not something that's just, you know, like I said, one size fits all. It's unique and individual to each person.
It is. Can I swing back around to the conversation of my testimony for a minute? Because I know that when we're talking to women, and there is that high percentage of listeners who have a shared experience, a similar experience, whether it's exactly like mine or not, regardless, I do want to mention that, if we're talking about uncluttering, it wasn't until about 15 years. About 15 years after my abortion, that I went through a healing retreat. And that's one thing. I know that a lot of women are like, I can't forgive myself. I don't know what to do. I've never told anybody. You're the first person I've ever told, that kind of stuff. And I do address this in my most recent book, I Want It All. Here you go. Ha ha.
No,
So
go for it. We, yeah,
yeah,
our listeners and our viewers need to know this, so this is good.
Yeah, so if this is your story, you need some help kind of processing through it. That's one of the things that can absolutely trip us up and just be clutter if we think like we can't get past the past. And that's the whole message of the gospel is all about renewal, restoration, healing, forgiveness, grace, all the things. And I do cover that. And I talk specifically about my testimony and the healing. But I did go on a post-abortive retreat, and where it was opening some heart doors that I had sealed shut. And I will say that God has healing in store for every single one of us. It's are we willing to do the hard things to make it happen, and to listen to this, the voice and the heart and the spirit of God. And so I would strongly encourage your listeners and those of you who are watching, if you have that story and you haven't addressed it in your heart, I know I knew I was forgiven. That's not why I went on this retreat. I knew that I was forgiven. I actually went because the Lord was requiring me to share my testimony, and I thought I needed to do this so that I could tell everyone else to do it. I didn't realize that God was going to be like, all up in my business. But truly, it was very transformational. I was able to, at the retreat, literally, that some of the things are intense. Like I had, it was prayerfully asking the Lord, is my baby a girl or a boy? And I felt impressed in my heart that it was a daughter. And so we named her. I named her. We had a memorial service. I wrote a letter to her, went through scripture and journaling and processing in ways that, like, I wanted to, like, part of what you do is you acknowledge that the life of your child was valuable, and to ask for forgiveness of your child. And it's like, can you do that? No, but we can pray and say, Lord, as I read this, can you tune her ears in heaven to hear a note from mom, and it's just, it was powerful and powerful. And so I just know that if we're talking about clutter, there are ways that the enemy will drag us down and get all up in our space about the fact that we can't ever move forward. We can't ever truly be free to serve in ministry or do these things because of what we've done. And that is a lie. There is just absolutely, there's nothing that any of us have ever done that is outside the scope or been through or experienced or, that it lies outside the scope of God's grace and his willingness to forgive and heal and restore. So that's a message. There is freedom that he longs for us to experience if we're willing to meet him in the trenches of confession and healing. And so I just want to encourage your listeners that way.
And that,
Amen.
yeah, I mean, that is just the heart of when you get down to the deepest level of what God conveys in his message and through sending Jesus to here. That is the essence, the true essence of it.
Yeah.
And that is true, like you said, no matter what has been done to us, what we have done, that God is that Father
Yeah.
waiting and open arms. Is there any particular group that you'd like for us to let listeners know if they want to search for that as far as that
Yeah.
retreat? And we can
So
put all
the
of these references in our show notes.
Sure. So every local pregnancy care center will
Okay.
offer a post-abortive healing Bible study and/or retreat.
Okay.
And honestly, they're waiting for women to come forward and say, "Hey, I need some help. I need to get over, what happened in my life 15 years ago, and I still haven't ever talked to anybody about it. Can I have someone help me?" And that's just so your local pregnancy care center
Okay.
will have resources for a post-abortive Bible study or retreat. And there are two main ones that usually are led. One is Forgiven and Set Free, and the other is Surrendering the Secret.
All right, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
You know,
That's
and
all I have.
we spend so much time talking about, stuff and schedule and mental and I think if you had to identify like what is the ultimate clutter, we talk about it as being a distraction from our priorities, and really it's anything we put before God that and so this is such a different focus from most of our episodes, but it couldn't be more poignant and true to what we want to convey to our listeners.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the big word that comes to my heart is shame. And one of my favorite verses is Psalm 34:5, and it's those who look to him are radiant, their faces are
Yes.
never covered with shame. And it is not those who do everything perfect, it's those who look to him. And so it's truly about him and not about us, his willingness to meet
Yes.
us with mercy and grace.
Wow. Absolutely. Ah. I just feel like the only thing I can say now is amen. Just
That's
exactly right. Exactly right.
Amen.
Wow. Well, thank
Amen.
you so much for being with us today, Gwen. I've been truly touched. And
Wow.
is there anything else you'd like to share before we, start wrapping things up?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. I love your heart and your mission, and I would love to be more like y'all.
Thank you.
Whenever I do something and really put together some organization, I did it with some marketing materials this past week. I just sit and look at it and I'm like, oh, that looks good. Okay. But it's work for me. It's work for me. But I would say to your listeners and to those watching is, as you are working through all of these things, be honest with your friends and pray for one another. And if you need help, reach out to someone. If you are a women's ministry director and you'd like me to come to your church, go to my website,
Yes.
gwensmith.net. I do still, come speak for women's conferences and things like that. And so as the Lord prompts and leads, I prayerfully consider it. But it's been a joy to talk about this the second time. Again, with you guys, and just to join you on your podcast. So thank you for having me.
Just so our audience is not like, what is she talking about? This is not her second appearance on this episode. Gwen is so patient. We recorded another time and we had technical difficulties to the extreme. And so we have just been so grateful for her patience, being willing to give us again. And I mean, the first one was fantastic, and I didn't think this could be as good or better, but I believe it is. So,
Oh,
I think so too. I do too. Yeah.
see, that's grace at work.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that is it for this episode of the Uncluttered Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'd love to hear what you learned from Gwen in this episode. So if you want to, after you processed everything and prayed and things and listened after listening to her, drop us a line by email, contact@unclutter.faith, and let us know. We always love hearing from you.
Yes, and I encourage you to go to Gwen's website, gwensmith.net. Check out everything that she offers, her ministry, her books, her music, and please share this episode specifically because I think it is just so powerful, and I would love as many people to hear it as possible, and that we can try to spread the word on our end, but you doing that will do so more, and because it's just such a powerful expression of God's love. So thank you so much for being listeners. We always just appreciate you watching and listening, and until next time, remember, an uncluttered life is an abundant life.